Morning. Wow, that was a huge response there. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. A lot better now in 2 seconds. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we get to be here to celebrate Jesus. I'm glad we get to lift him up. I'm glad we get to do that together today, right? That's a good thing, right? We should be excited about that, always excited. Chris has mentioned this before. I always tell everybody this is one of my favorite places to be. This is one of my favorite places to be with my family, right? With the body of Christ. This is an incredible place to be because we get to celebrate what means the most to us today, right? Amen? Something? One of those things? Okay. All right. Before we get started, Chris has already read this, our focal passage is going to be out of John 1 today, and it's Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, there is a ton of power in that verse in and of itself, okay? And we're going to dig into that in just a minute. We're going to get into that, but I want you to just be prepared. That's where we're going to focus at. We're going to hit a little bit in Leviticus, talk about that. We're going to hit a little bit about Hebrews, and then in 1 Peter, and maybe a touch in 1 John, if we have time. But we're going to focus in John chapter 1 today. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, there's always something that's a little nerve-wracking when you're up here on the stage. Like you want to say things that make sense, right? You don't want to say something that's confusing. Okay, so these are the kind of thoughts that run through my mind when I'm up here, and I always have family that's here that helps me with that encouragement. Talking about one of the Gradys maybe in the very back room, one of the Greens back here. So, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go get breakfast since you're preaching. You know, that kind of encouragement. It's really helpful, and it's really uplifting before you walk up here to the stage. When I may have told this story before, I can't remember. I apologize if I have, but when I was an early teenager, when I was really wanting to start to dive into Scripture, right? I got saved when I was 8, but when it became more than that, when I really wanted to start growing, I had this guy that was discipling me, okay, and he was teaching me. He was kind of teaching me how to read the Bible, what it should look like, how you should be interpreting it, those type things, right? And so. He gives me a passage, and I'm reading it, and I'm wanting to impress my mentor, right? I'm wanting to impress him, and so I'm reading this passage, and the way I read it is, are we not mermen? But the passage is, are we not mere men? So we have a constant joke now with my mentor still to this day that we're a bunch of mermaids swimming around, okay? So if I say something crazy, it's not because I'm crazy. Okay, this is important. This is foundational. And the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is the greatest thing we could ever proclaim in all of our world, right? That is the number one thing. So if I say something crazy, I apologize. Find me afterwards, right? Don't get on like Facebook and say, this guy was weird. You don't have to do that. Come find me. And see, well, my friend Steph will do that anyway, but if you want to say something, come find me. Passages of Scripture like this are incredible, and they're world-changing for us. And we're talking, we're going through Advent, right? And we're talking about hope. And this world, does anybody think this world needs a little bit of hope at all? A few people, okay? A couple of you, I don't know, online. Maybe we're getting a lot of likes today in all of our followers. Our world needs hope, right? This is a scary place to be, right? Family members die. That's tough, right? We can lose hope in that. We get sick, right? We can lose hope in that. Jobs can be lost. We can lose hope in that, right? We can be quarantined for multiple weeks on end with our family, and that can be stressful, right? These are all things that are going on in our world, and they're things that are like trying to block out the light of Jesus Christ. And we as the body of Christ, we are that light who has to shine forth through that. We've got to burst forth out of the darkness, out of the junk, out of all the pain and the suffering. And we've got to say, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And because of that, I have hope in Him and I don't have to worry, right? Does that make sense? A little bit, sort of, yes? Okay. In this dark world, we are called to be the people that shine forth, right? Anybody here last week? You remember when Chris was describing Jesus and he said that he was like the radiator of God, right? He was the radiation of God. He's not just the reflection of God, but he is the part that drives it forth. And we get to share in that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, right? So we get to be shining forth what God is and who God is because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So let's turn to John chapter 1 real quick. And let's look at this a little. There is so much in John chapter 1 that it is and would be ridiculous for me to try to get it all in right here. But I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try, and we're going to start real quick. I know what our focal verse is, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to read a little bit of the first passage of John 1, okay? And this is what it says. He's dropping the hammer immediately right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's already a hammer dropping down, right? The Word was with God. He was there in the beginning, and He's there now, and then He's coming forward. And this is going to get really good in a minute, okay, if that wasn't good enough. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He, John, was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Okay, this is the opening. This is like the prologue. Here it comes. And all the truth is coming. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was there when all things were created. Everything that was made, He was a part of. And now He has come to the earth. And this is huge, especially for the audience that John is talking to, because obviously we're looking back in the past at time, right? In the Old Testament, when we read the Old Testament and they're reading about the coming Messiah, they're looking to the future, right? So they don't really know it. It's kind of this opposite end of the spectrum from where we are. But they're looking to the future and they're saying, what is the hope that is coming? When is the Messiah coming? When is Yahweh coming? When is He going to be here? And John is speaking and he's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Nothing was made except what was made through Him. And then he's about to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is everything. He has been from the beginning. He was there at this time, and He is here today. And He is standing at the He's sitting at the throne of God, like Chris said. But He's there in our presence, in our place, to make us right with God. That is remarkable. We could go home and all drink coffee, if you drink coffee, and just think about that for today. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The one who was in the beginning, the one that created everything, the one that was all things, He is the one that John came talking about. And in John's time, when John is preaching, when John is sharing about this coming Messiah, the people were kind of confused. In the next few verses, you see the Jews are sending people to Him, right? They're sending priests and Levites to Him. They're asking Him who He is. Are you Elijah? Are you the coming Messiah? And John is going, no, I am not Him. I am not Him. He is coming, but I am not Him, right? And he's proclaiming this truth, and he's proclaiming this truth. And I think this is really important for us today, especially for us today, because in our society, I feel like more than any other, we try to take the light and shine it towards ourselves, right? Would anybody agree with that statement? I see this. This is kind of a weird left turn here, but there's this weird stuff happening It's on this thing called the internet. I don't know if you know about it. But there's these people that get on and they cast videos of themselves, right? And they become influencers and they do this and they do that, right? We've all heard these kind of words that are out there. And these people, what are they doing? What are all these people doing? They're talking about themselves, right? It's talking about how great they are. And like, I got this other weird thing happening, and it happens in my house. I'm sure it's happened in yours, where like, okay, video games are strange to me anyway, but like, my son doesn't like to play video games all the time. He likes to watch somebody else play a video game. Like, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Okay, it's bizarre. Granted, I'm 40, but that's bizarre, right? Why do I want to watch somebody else do something? Why do I want to know what somebody else is doing? And they're playing all these crazy games, they're doing all these things, but all of these people that I'm describing here, they're all like, they're bringing the light towards themselves, right? They're shining upon themselves like they know something we don't know, like they can do something better than us, like they are important so that we will buy their product, right? Or we will do their thing. And here's why it's imperative for us to not live like that. Because when we read what John is saying here, and the people are saying, "Are you Elijah? Are you the coming Messiah?" What does he say? "No, I am not him. That is not me." In the next few passages you read, he's talking about Jesus, and he's like, "One is coming, and I'm not even worthy to take this guy's shoes off." Okay, this guy is coming, and you think I am good, but this guy blows me out of the water. I am nothing in the light of who Jesus is, right? This is what John is saying. And we have this same similar opportunity to be in this world and to be saying, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you about what he has done in my life. Let me tell you what he has done in my life, with my family, with my pains, with my fears, with all the things that overwhelm me. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And it puts us in a right relationship and a right perspective of who God is. A few months ago, I got to preach, and I was talking about Paul. Remember, like, how does Paul describe himself? Hang on, time out. Would anybody say they look up to Paul, that Paul that wrote most of the New Testament? Yeah, a couple of hands, a few head nods, not really sure. Yeah, Paul's kind of a big deal, right? And we looked at Paul, we're like, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Paul. How does Paul describe himself? The chief of sinners, right? Paul, one of the biggest proponents that we would look to, right? We looked at him and we read the Word of God written through Paul, and we're like, this is what I need to be like. I need to be like Paul. And Paul's like, I am the worst of the worst. And we are here in this place, and we get to celebrate and we get to proclaim Jesus. But a lot of times we fall into this trap where we get mixed up on what our life should look like, right? And we point the arrow at ourselves instead of pointing it at Jesus. And we are here today, and our hope comes through Jesus, and all of our hope and our power and our belief should be in Jesus. But sometimes we take a step back and we kind of point it at ourselves, right? Does that make sense, what I'm saying at all? As believers, this world is hurting and this world is afraid, and they don't know how to react. And they don't know what to do, and we should know what to do. But a lot of times we're too inward focused to even see the needs of the world, right? Does anybody agree with that? Maybe a little bit. So when I was a teenager and just out of high school, there was this weird thing happening, and I may have shared this before too, but there's this weird thing happening in our town where like the battle for like youth group dominancy, is that a thing? I don't know if you can say that, but like, for whoever had the best youth group or the coolest this or the coolest that, the battle was always against the other churches, right? Has anybody ever seen that in a church? Like, I think Chris has talked about it at a church, like First Baptist Church and Second Baptist Church in the same town or whatever, right? Or First Christian Church and whatever it is, you know, like we battle with other churches, but our battle is not with the body of Jesus Christ, right? Who is the battle against? Satan. The battle is against the darkness. And we are in this place where we get to be proclaiming Jesus as the light of the world. So whenever John is talking, whenever he's proclaiming Jesus, these people are asking him, they're like, are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Come again? Who are you? You're doing great things. Who are you? And he's going, No, I am not the guy. No. And then it happens. Jesus is approaching, and what does he say? I don't know what this looked like in my mind. He's like standing kind of on a hill, and like Jesus is walking up a hill, and there's all this light behind. That's in my mind what I'm seeing. But Jesus is approaching, and what does he say? Like, can you imagine? He's pointing his fingers. Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is a remarkable statement, because all of these people, all of these early Jewish people, they've been looking for the coming Messiah, right? They've been looking for this coming truth. When you read in the Old Testament, what were the Jewish people doing to appease God at the time for their sins? What were they doing? Sacrificing. What were they sacrificing? Animals, right? Lambs, bulls, goats, all these things, right? And so the imagery that's going on here, the parable that they've been living throughout all of the Old Testament about, we must slaughter this lamb in our place, right? We must spread the blood on the altar. We must do this. The sacrifice, the parable, is now not a parable. The Lamb of God, the chosen Lamb of God, is not... it's not a parable anymore. That is the Lamb of God. He has come and He is here. And because of Him, we aren't going to have to live in this manner anymore. Whenever you read in Leviticus, a lot of those Old Testament laws and things, you read about the lamb, and the lamb had to be spotless, right? The lamb had to be perfect. The lamb had to look good. And so John, in all of this knowledge, he knows the understanding of these people. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't look at Jesus and say, behold, another Lamb of God, right? It wasn't another one. It wasn't a similar one. It was the Lamb of God. It wasn't like all of the ones that had been killed throughout their history to appease the wrath of God, right? This was something different. Jesus was something new that had not been seen by the eyes of men yet, right? The Old Testament prophets, they had hope in Jesus coming. They had been living in this life of we've got to sacrifice this lamb. This lamb who has no guilt and no shame. This had nothing to do with it, but he's got to take my place, right? And that lamb, when we read in Hebrews, it says bulls and goats they're not even capable of taking away our sin, right? So when we read in the Old Testament, we're reading about all those sacrifices. We know that it wasn't that specific lamb or that specific goat. That wasn't doing anything. It was the belief that the picture of Jesus coming in the future, right? And so John is living in this place, and these people are approaching him, and they're asking him what's going on. They're asking him who he is. They're asking him if he's Elijah. They're asking him if he's the Messiah. No, I am not him. One is coming who is way, way different than I am. He's way better than me. And the next day, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is fantastic truth for us as believers. And we are walking around, and we're some 2,000 years later, and we have the opportunity to be proclaiming the same truth that John proclaimed on that day. Right? We have the same opportunity to be saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He took away my sin. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. And we have that opportunity, but sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we don't take advantage of it because we're too busy talking about red or blue in a Democratic election, right? Or we're too busy talking about vaccinations or anti-vaxxing. Right? We get on Facebook, like I'm on Facebook, but I don't like post a lot on Facebook. I just kind of read what people I know are posting, and it's kind of scary, the things that we say and the things that we like and the things that we tag, because I feel like sometimes we're talking about all this nonsense, and not once have we ever mentioned the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? Okay, and I'm not coming down on anybody Don't hear what I'm saying about red or blue or vaccination or not. That what I'm saying isn't about that. What I'm saying is that doesn't matter. If I have hope in Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, then that's what I should be standing on, right? That's what I should be proclaiming more than anything. If I walk out of this space and the only thing somebody ever hears me talk about is whatever and not Jesus, I'm doing something wrong. John's life was not a life that was pointing at himself. His life was one that was pointing to Jesus, pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is one of my favorite passages, but you know what's really cool? In like verse 29, he says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me,'" right? That's awesome, right? That's awesome. But if you go down like five verses later, this is why I really think it's awesome. "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and he walked by, and he said," what? "Behold the Lamb of God." Right? Are you seeing? That's kind of a pattern in his life. It happened multiple times. Why? Because the Lamb of God is important. The Lamb of God is the greatest thing in the world that we can talk about. Why? Because we are separated from God because of our sin. Every one of us in this room, every one of us in this room was separated from God because of our sin. But the Lamb of God is our hope. The Lamb of God who came and who was slain, who was slaughtered. These are words that are used in the New Testament. He was slaughtered on the cross for your sin so that your judgment could be taken away. That is remarkable truth for us today. That is remarkable truth for us. 1 Peter 1:19, here's what he says. He's talking about sin. He's talking about what's going on. And here's what he says: "But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or a spot." Peter's talking about the same thing, right? The blood of the Lamb who's taking away the sin of the world. Why is he talking about it's without blemish or spot? Because when you read back in the Old Testament, that lamb had to be without blemish and without spot, right? That lamb had to look a certain way. It had to be a certain way. And so John pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God, and Peter pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God, and it is a remarkable thing for us to be able to stand on today. Further in chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter still, he says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." How does salvation come? How does hope come to this dark world? By the Lamb bearing on the cross the sins of the world, right? He took and he received the wrath and the punishment of God that was being poured out for your sin and for my sin. And because he took that judgment, because he took that punishment, because he took that pain, I can have hope that I can be in a right relationship with God. That is incredible. Our life needs to look different in this world. Our life needs to look completely different than anybody in this world. If you sit in an office building and you're surrounded by people who are not believers, your life should look different. Your life should look different. Why? Because Jesus, the one who radiates the love of Christ, is supposed to be living inside of you. He should be inside of you. Whenever you keep reading in some of these passages, it says if we say we love him but we don't live like him, then we are lying. Okay? If we are living a life where we're not following him, where we're not running after him, where we're not proclaiming Jesus as the King of Kings, then we are lying about our lives. And that is not the hope that is in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have a unique opportunity in this world at this time. And I hope that we are taking advantage of it. I hope that in your life, I hope that you are taking moments with your family that's around you and you are saying, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you are a spouse in here, you should be doing that with your spouse every day. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you are a parent and you're a believer in this room and your kids aren't hearing you proclaim the truth of Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, then you're doing your family a major disservice. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God. John, when he saw him coming towards him, when he sees him like coming up over that hill, right? Like in my mind, and he's coming up and all that light is behind him and there's all this brightness, and I see John talking to people and he's teaching people. He's saying, one is coming. And then he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That gets me fired up. I don't know a good way to say that. That gets me excited to think about Jesus offering me hope, right? And if I can insert myself into history, this would be one of those moments I would want to be at, right? There's some I may not want to be at, but this is one of them. Like, we've been hearing about the Lamb of God, we've been being taught, our family's been teaching us, but this is him coming over the hill right there. That is the Lamb of God. And I'm gonna, if you're a parent in this room, if not a parent, if you're a believer in this room and you've ever led somebody to Jesus Christ, this is kind of the mark that you're leaving at that moment, right? When you're talking to them and you're telling them about Jesus and you're telling them about the hope that you have, you're telling them about all these things, and then you say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you see it click in somebody, right? Oh my goodness, I need that. My life is confusing. I am lost. I have no hope at all, but you're telling me this is the one? That is the King of the world who took away the... Like, that is remarkable. And we get to experience that. We get to shed that light to this dark world. And I hope and I pray and I beg that we are the ones that are doing it. We're East Point Church, we're a relatively small church in Oklahoma County, right? But that doesn't mean the impact that we can have on this world can't be huge, right? If we live a life where we are proclaiming Him, where we are shining Him forth, where everything about Him is bursting forth out of us, then this world will be different because of the lives we live. And that's where I want to be, right? I want to be that person that when I'm gone, that people go, he pointed to Jesus. That guy loved Jesus. Why? Why did he love Jesus so much? How come when we were talking about this nonsense and that nonsense, he would go, Jesus this? Right? Is that who we want to be? That's what we want to be. We want to be the church that proclaims and points to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We can have hope in Jesus because of what he endured on the cross for us. The wrath of God has been set aside for those who believe in Him. So we have an incredible opportunity today. And we got to be put in our right place with Him. If everything I've said today makes no sense at all, come find me. I would be happy to talk to you more. If everything I've said sounds like a jumbled whatever, come find me. I will be happy to try to explain it better. We're going to take a minute and we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to fill our hearts and to push us and to drive us to be more like Him and to continue to shine the hope of Jesus Christ in this dark and dying world. But remember, here's where I think it starts, with us pointing to Jesus and saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Right? Why don't you stand with me and let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you that in the midst of all the chaos of this world, in the midst of all the junk of this world, in all the just the frustrating things that it feels like that we're dealing with, Jesus, we pray that you would be made known. We pray that our lives would be that radiance of you, that we would be reflecting on who you are, that we would be shining the light of Jesus to this world and proclaiming that you are the Lamb of God. You are the only hope for people in this world. You are the only way for people in this world, and may we stand firm on that. Jesus, you are good. You are good. The grace that you offer that is just continually poured out, that grace and grace and grace and grace. God, thank you so much for what you did for us on the cross. Change our lives today and change who we are as people and families, and may we be the brightest light that this world sees. God, change who we are. May we be more like you.